answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you're sitting in our position today, we would know none of this if Republicans had not taken the majority. We've only followed where the information has taken us. But Hannity is rising to the level of impeachment inquiry, which provides Congress the strongest power to get the rest of the knowledge and information needed. Because this president has also used something we have not seen since Richard Nixon, used the weaponization of government to benefit his family and deny Congress the ability to have the oversight.
Excellent points being made by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Using the I word regarding the Bidens, and that would include and specifically name Joe Biden for impeachment. You may or may not accept that at this point, but as he said, the more we begin to uncover, the more we see, the more things develop. Impeachment is certainly in front of us. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, July 25, 2023. Reminding you during each noon hour, Monday through Friday, we do a live stream for you for 2 hours. You can watch it live by going to News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter. And of course, you can also go to rumble.com, enter in either one of those. So we're available anywhere and however you want to do it, whether you can watch us live or you have to pull it up later. And watch it then. Glad to have you. And all of the audio, everything's available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Not hard to find, and we do appreciate it. We appreciate you also sharing. You can subscribe for free, and we'll make sure it gets right to your mailbox. No obligation, just making it easier for you. So Kevin McCarthy is talking about how much we're seeing come unraveled at this point. There are a lot of events getting ready to happen. Tomorrow, Hunter Biden is supposed to step forward in front of the judge and see if he can get this plea deal worked out and approved by the judge that he and the prosecutors have already been in a back room and saying, look, we'll do this if you accept that. And part of it involves IRS charges. The back taxes and penalties have been paid that he cheated the government and you other taxpayers out of. They've all been paid by a wealthy donor out of California. So I'll write a check for $2+ million. I'll take care of it. And then it comes down to the gun charge, which has been dropped down to a misdemeanor. The issue is, will the judge accept the deal? The judge is not obligated to do so. I'm not going to hedge any bets on it one way or the other as to how it's going to go down. But we'll be watching that. And the issue also involving Hunter Biden's business partner at one time, also labeled now as a one-time friend, Devin Archer. Photograph with Hunter, his dad, and some of their other business acquaintances. And he's facing charges of his own. And he is supposedly going to testify to Congress, but it's not going to be what we want, not at this point. They're saying that maybe next week it will happen, but it will be a transcript. In other words, it's going to be a deposition, and you'll get a transcript of the questions and his answers. I don't want that. I want the man sitting in front of Congress being answered question after question after question. Then maybe he'll break and start spilling the beans. I'm not sure they'd want anyway, but I want to be a party to that, do you not? Now, Kevin McCarthy, if he's starting to throw around the word like impeach, you have to keep in mind what he pointed out also. We wouldn't know any of this if Republicans had not gained control of the House. Once they got control of the House, then they can initiate these proceedings, start subpoena, and begin to look for answers. If Democrats had held onto the House, you would know nothing. And over in the Senate, it is controlled by Democrats. They're not carrying out these kind of inquiries. You've got Senators Johnson and Grassley doing the best they can, dealing with FBI informants, but they're limited in the scope of what they can do because they're not the ruling party in the Senate. Now, of course, to impeach, let me remind you again, the House could vote to impeach Joe Biden, but then that you have to look at is basically a grand jury indictment. Then he has to go to the Senate for the trial. He could be exonerated, could be convicted, and slapped on the hand. I mean, there are all kinds of options at that point. So I don't want to get too far ahead of us. But I do like what I heard today from Virginia Congressman Klein, and his analogy fits right down my line of thinking.
Rats are coming out of the woodwork to testify about their friend, Hunter Biden, and the business dealings of the family. It's no surprise to those of us who have followed this for some time, and the Judiciary Committee is waiting to follow the facts wherever they lead.
If all of this is true, that he and his family have taken in millions and millions of dollars from foreign nationals while he was a sitting vice president, and he was involved in all of this, what is his fate?
Well, it's the definition of corruption, and the American people have seen it happen in slow real time and demanded answers. The Biden administration has delayed and obfuscated, but the facts are coming out. The Judiciary Committee is prepared to follow the facts. Jim Comer's committee is going to get to the bottom of it. And this Congress is working for the American people to provide answers to the American people and hold accountable those in positions of power all the way up to the Oval Office.
And keep in mind, one of the things that we learned about recently, and we want to get in front of a member in Congress and for it to be stated on the record under threat of perjury, and that is that Joe Biden was on the speakerphone listening while his son was doing some of these business deals. Oh, yes, the same Joe Biden who declared repeatedly during the election, I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing about Hunter's business dealings. The White House has done a spin around now, saying, as President Biden has always said, he's not involved in the Hunter business deals. That's different than sitting and listening and talking and giving direction and not actually being on the form of a business deal. You see how they're trying to move this around? Don't let them take advantage of you like that. I don't think most of you will buy it. But at the same time, I want to make sure we keep the target in sight. And Kevin McCarthy raises another deal, something else. He said if all of this were above board and not involving Joe Biden any payoffs, even when he's vice president, if all of it were above board, there were a lot of countries they could have been doing business with, but maybe they weren't going to participate in a kickback.
Well, it's interesting that the Biden family runs, if they say, a company but never had an office and shell companies to be able to pay through. But if they really ran it for foreign countries, why didn't you get money from France, from Germany, from UK? Why does it have to be from China, Romania, in these countries that have real challenges and had problems going through? I believe we will follow this all the way to the end, and this is going to rise to an impeachment inquiry the way the Constitution tells us to do this, and we have to get the answers to these questions.
We have to get the answers. We already are getting some answers, by the way. According to this source, I want to say is the New York Post. Let me verify that. I don't find it written on here. It may be a combination of the New York Post and others as well. But that Hunter Biden, it might be Breitbart. Let me put it that way. Hunter Biden apparently knows the identities of at least two of his art buyers, one of whom, guess what? Stand back, here comes a band. One of his art patrons is a large Democrat donor. No surprise there. As Elizabeth Hirsch Naftali. By the way, Naftali is a L.A. real estate investor, influential in California Democratic circles. And in 2023, she donated $13,000 to the Biden campaign, and then almost $30,000 to the Democrat National Committee this year. And 8 months after Hunter Biden opened his art show, and Naftali either bought the painting in advance or said she would, and we are not getting a dollar value on it, what do you know? She got appointed by Joe Biden to the Commission for the Preservation of Americans' Heritage Abroad. Now, again, it's not clear, did she buy the painting in advance or say that she would? Or did she buy it and then she ends up getting an appointment to the Commission for the Preservation of blah, 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 blah? It's another case of possible quid pro quo. We're getting to the point, too, here, where if McCarthy is saying the word impeachment aloud, it's being whispered and shuttled back and forth inside Congress and inside the Beltway and across the country. And one of those who would like to see Biden not be able to run would be RFK Jr. And he was doing an interview and says he also thinks we need a clear and full understanding.
The issues that are now coming up are worrying enough that we really need a real investigation of what happened. I mean, these revelations about the, you know, that where you have Burisma, which is a, you know, this notoriously corrupt company that paid out apparently $10 million to Hunter and his dad. If that's true, then it is really troubling. So I think that that needs to be, that it needs to be investigated.
Needs to be investigated. Now, of course, critics of RFK Jr. and anybody defending Biden are going to say, well, he's just looking for a chance to jab us. Such as Mitt Romney currently asking GOP donors, you need to be pressuring these low-polling candidates, get out of the 2024 race. Because if there are a lot of Republicans in the primary, Trump's more likely to win. Mitt Romney says, you need to get out of the way. Now, RFK standing against Biden is still holding around the 30% mark. Steve Forbes, the CEO of Forbes Media, making a strong prediction about Biden and RFK, and in specific, Biden even carrying the Democrat banner into the general election.
He's not going to be the Democratic Party nominee for president 2024 for a variety of reasons. His performance, economy is not doing well. People feel the institutions in this country can't trust anymore. On both sides, you see that feeling, which is why Robert Kennedy Jr. is getting real traction. Who would have thought of that a year ago? And then you have Hunter. That's not going away. You have Biden's performance himself, what you saw there yesterday. This, we're going to have four more years of this. We're going to be lucky to get one more year for that kind of performance. That's why it's starting to whisper.
Take
him off the stage. Put him back in the basement.
Put him back in the basement. They may well do that. That's Steve Forbes, I guess, again, the CEO and founder of Forbes Publications. He knows economics. He knows what the economy is doing. He knows most of the polls show that Americans are not happy. They can tout all they want from the White House press secretary. Bidenomics is great. We're all benefiting. I saw a piece today, and I can't find the source on it. It had up a map, and it had several states that were suddenly doing a lot better than they had, and they're all giving it claims that it belongs, the claim of credit belongs to Joe Biden. What has he been doing? Look at where the fuel prices are. Look at where the bread prices are. Some of the latest numbers that I've seen continue to show that there's nothing that is working under this economy. Now, does that mean we're getting better a little bit? Yeah, I would say you could do that a little bit, a little bit. But, of course, we have others saying it's almost like pumping from the oil reserves again, trying to make it look better before the election. But, unfortunately, there's not a lot he can do. We've crippled jobs. The first thing he did was wipe out thousands of jobs when he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Simple fact. And how many others are going to lose their jobs because they want to, and they have lost their jobs because they've got the major corporations and blue states all buying in to the idea that we're going to go all electric, get rid of gas vehicles. Forbes again is saying the polls, the public, they're giving you the real story on what's happening with our economy.
A year ago, Joe Biden was calling himself the deficit cutter, the deficit slasher. This year, it's 2.5 times the deficit what it was a year ago. So much on performance. And he says, we're bringing down inflation. Still twice what it was when he came into office. And those prices are not coming down. Just the rate of increase is coming down. People, credit card debt, where is that? Record high. Yeah. Business investment, not what it should be. Headwinds overseas, you'll look at all of that. I'm amazed they'd go out there and boast that the economy is doing well, I'm the hero. What kind of world does he think he's living in?
He's not living in our world. Quinn was reminding me, too, and then you look at all the jobs that got lost because of COVID. People got put out of jobs because everything was shutting down. And then when we start back up, Biden wants to claim success for bringing everything back. No, it's not true. Now, the New York Times, here's the way they're saying it. And they're trying to put it on a global economy scale that takes a lot of the pressure off of just the U.S. and points out their headline, Global Economy Shows Signs of Resilience Despite Lingering Threats. Read between the lines. I know you can. At the same time, from Reuters, no happy dance on the agenda as the Fed ponders the resilient U.S. economy. They still like to use that word resilient. It means we're not falling off the face of the earth. I never said we were. But if Steve Forbes is telling you the economy is not where it should be and could be, most of us know that in our heart and in our bank account. Let them go ahead and push that story. See how far it's going to get them down the road. My answer is it's not going to get them very far. And it is going to open the door more for Trump or a Republican candidate. Coming up, Senator Rand Paul's office caught fire. By accident? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when what deep in love is, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This was never about science. This was about the business of science. It was about the money. Follow the money trail, and you see millions of dollars exchanging hands in the first few months of 2020 to the people who came out and said, nothing to see here, couldn't have happened in the lab.
Yep, that was Senator Rand Paul talking about the COVID, Chinese COVID, Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it. And you and anyone like you who was in the beginning saying, this looks really suspicious, all this coming out of China. And the fact that Donald Trump made a remark that it was related to China, immediately they started calling him xenophobic. And remember Nancy Pelosi going to Chinatown in San Francisco saying, come join me, come have lunch. These are good people. It's good food. Trump never said anything against the food in Chinatown, nor Chinese in general. He was talking about suspicions of this virus coming out of a Chinese lab. And we, for the most part of America and the world probably, did not know that U.S. dollars were going into that lab for gain of research testing. In other words, finding a virus, how can we activate it and use it as a weapon against an enemy? Now, I want to make sure you understand something. I'm all about us doing that kind of study. We need to know how something could be weaponized and then be prepared in case it is weaponized against us, but not in the secrecy of China. We're not understanding what they're getting, we don't know what they're doing with it, and we don't know what their plans are to do with it. And we're not sure the protocol, is it full safety? Well, apparently from what we've seen now, it wasn't. But there was Rand Paul, and he and Dr. Fake have been at it before numerous times in Senate hearings. And there have been threats and so forth made against Senator Rand Paul, especially when Dr. Fake says, Senator, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm a scientist. You're not. There. Well, there was a fire the other day in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Now, this involved a massive battling of a blaze. It was a commercial building. It had a law firm inside, other facilities, also housing U.S. Senator Rand Paul's office. Oh, Larry, are you going to tell us the fire was set just to destroy his office? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to give you the details so you have a clear understanding. Because it has not gotten a lot of attention, and I'm thinking the more that we see the anger on the left when they talk about let's have peace, and, of course, they're all about rioting in the street if they think they are justified. And I'm not talking about marching in First Amendment-protected speech. I'm talking about rioting and burning buildings down. They do not have a cause of this fire yet. It may well be electrical. Could be some other kind of accident. Maybe it was a case of arson, but involved somebody just wanting to set a building on fire, had no idea that Senator Rand Paul's office was there. But when this thing happened early Friday morning,
took a lot of firefighters to get on the scene and deal with it. They were also trying to keep it from spreading because the historic courthouse is nearby, but everything inside the senator's office was destroyed. Everything. Now, I'm sure a lot of it is backed up at his D.C. office and maybe other places as well. But when it comes down to the Bowling Green office, the fire official said when they arrived, because of the intensity of the blaze, the smoke, they had low visibility or even zero visibility to get to some parts of the structure. Now, Senator Rand Paul is not claiming that anybody on the left are that are angry because he's gone after Dr. Fake, as I have as well. He's not claiming anybody did that. And you recall him being assaulted by a neighbor over some dispute that was never very clear. And there have been a lot of threats made against him. There are a lot of threats made against Congress members on both sides of the aisle. And, of course, we know there have been direct threats against Supreme Court justices after Roe v. Wade. You do remember the Senate Majority Leader, Schumer, standing on the steps of the Supreme Court after the Roe v. Wade decision had leaked out, saying, "You've reaped the whirlwind. You don't know what you're going to suffer going forward." It's a threat made by a U.S. senator. But he's a Democrat, so they just didn't say anything about it. But Rand Paul says we're not done investigating what Dr. Fake and our government did with China in developing or creating COVID, whether it was intentional or not, to get out of the lab. And he said, anytime you try to raise questions about it, you were threatened.
There's probably never been a cover-up in the history of all politics that was so completely documented that they were lying to us. Every one of their private emails says, oh my goodness, looks like it might have come from the lab. Oh my goodness, looks like it was manipulated. And this goes on and on and on. Even so much as to say the one lead virologist who's saying it's all kooky and conspiracy theory to say it came from the lab, he's saying in private, this is no conspiracy theory. This is not a fringe theory. In all likelihood, it could have come from the lab.
That's what they want to tell you. But I'm looking at a piece that points out, and this was based upon a study of how that money was spent for the schools during the COVID issue. A lot of money was thrown at schools. And there was an in-depth investigation by one education organization looking at where that money went, who used it, how did it get spent. And a series of government reports have also documented the same thing. Trillions of dollars purportedly going to COVID relief went to wasted. Part of it renovating a minor league baseball stadium, replacing irrigation systems at a golf course. Obvious waste and not intended. And the public schools, well, you had the unions insisting on keeping them closed for a long period of time because they felt we're going to need more money to get various things done. In the California Oakland School District, $1.6 million was used for a payment on a $100 million loan the district took out from the state well before the coronavirus hit, but then they turned around to help pay off the loan. That is one thing that continued to come up every time Dr. Fake was appearing before a, at least before Senator Rand Paul and anyone who would ask legitimate questions. It's an issue of money and why many people were silenced and money that was going to go to different places that was just going to be thrown into the air. Like you're standing in that machine and dollar bills are blowing all around you. Only these are not dollar bills. They're not even $100 bills. They are notes for a million here and a million there. I mean, and grab as many as you can. Then make up an excuse of how you want to use them. Rand Paul again talking about how every time they were trying to get a real answer regarding COVID and what was needed and what we should be doing and how money should be spent, there was Dr. Fake blocking the door.
Then in public, they print an article that Anthony Fauci commissions them. He basically says, you need to get this written up as soon as possible. He works on them to edit this. And when it is published, it says explicitly, this virus is not a laboratory construct. They, none of them believed that they knew with certainty right. that it wasn't, but they thought it would harm the business of science and it would harm our relations with China. Anthony Fauci came before my committee. He said absolutely he funded no gain-of-function research in China. But we now have an email from him where he describes the research they're doing and says, you know what? We are suspicious of the lab because we know they are doing gain-of-function research. He describes the project, but the project he describe is the project he funded. So everything he's been telling us from the very beginning has been a lie. We've documented that it's a lie, and it's a felony to lie to Congress. And so I've referred him not once, but now twice to the Attorney General of the United States for prosecution.
But that's not going to happen. Not with this Attorney General. And keep in mind the number of not only the deaths, but the illnesses that have hit a lot of people because they were ordered to get the COVID shots. Got a story that broke today, and don't know if it's tied to COVID, but LeBron James' son, Bronny, suffering a cardiac arrest during a workout at USC yesterday. He's apparently no longer in ICU, but here's apparently a healthy young man. I don't know if he got the shot or not, but we've had numerous cases of healthy young people forced to get a shot just to attend college, whether it's related or not. Coming up, how your best high scores may not win a college. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you, Susie Q.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're seeing that CNN and NN is finally getting in on the Hunter Biden story. What? What, Larry? What? What are you drinking? Let me read it to you direct from CNN and NN and show you their twists on the Hunter Biden story. The Republican, this is the lead line. The Republican chairman of the House and Ways Committee submitted materials Tuesday to the judge in Hunter Biden's criminal case, flagging recent, quote, underline, claims from IRS whistleblowers, end of underline, that the probe into President Joe Biden's son was tainted by political interference. Now, they quote here Missouri Republican Jason Smith, who wants the district judge to consider these allegations while presiding over Hunter Biden's plea hearing tomorrow morning in Delaware. Now, I'd mentioned that at the beginning of this hour and told you that he was scheduled to appear. The judge does not have to accept the deal. The judge can look at it and say, you know, the government gave way too much away and really is getting not compensation in the sense of money, which is a key, but no real justice. It's a free-for-all for Hunter. But in the court filing, Congressman Smith of Missouri, Jason Smith, it's written, the defendant appears to have benefited from political interference, which calls into question the propriety of the investigation of the U.S. Attorney's Office. It is critical this court consider the whistleblower's materials before determining whether to accept the plea agreement. So there you have it. Yeah, you can't say that CNN has not covered Hunter Biden and the dealings he's been caught in. There they did. But they're also putting it in the context right away that, well, it's only because he got favorable treatment. He is going to plead guilty tomorrow, at least the plan is, to two federal tax misdemeanors for failing to pay taxes on time in 2017 and 2018. Now, failing to avoid, if that's truly what it is and what happened, tax avoidance, you know, if you can find a way that you want to pay the taxes right away and you delay, you can, but you're going to pay penalties. Believe me, I know, I've been there. Tax evasion is hiding. And it's not clear that there's not some hiding been going on because a lot of this information suddenly got dumped into the hands of the IRS and then held off and held off and held off until the statute of limitations ran out on them. And he's also going to resolve a felony gun charge. They're going to basically downgrade that so he won't be facing jail. So the judge presiding over the case has the power to reject the plea agreement negotiated between Biden and the Justice Department. They're good friends over there, the Attorney General. But CNN points out that would be a surprising, unexpected move. They've already put the judge on notice with that statement. If you don't accept the deal that's been presented and worked out with our Justice Department and Hunter Biden and his attorneys, then you must be one of them. You must be a MAGA person. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how this goes down. I do know that the Heritage Foundation is also urging the judge to postpone the hearing so the judge can get additional information direct from the Justice Department to determine, was there anything behind the scenes that was suspicious that the average U.S. citizen would not get? If she does that, she's going to find a lot. In the meantime, U.S. Prosecutor David Weiss is also being called before the House. And he's now giving the Congress several dates. He said, I can appear and testify regarding any allegations of the Justice Department possibly interfering in the criminal investigation of Biden. But, he's not going to do it until after the judge makes a ruling on the Hunter Biden Justice Department deal. That is, in effect, to use the terminology, putting the cart before the horse. You're going to wait and see if the judge throws all this out tomorrow and says, we're not going to let him make that plea, we're going to dig deeper into it, well, then Weiss is going to be stuck hard. If the judge simply stamps it and says, let's move on, next on the docket, then he'll probably rush in and say, yeah, we did everything right. And it's been determined by a judge that just reviewed it. But the judge is not seeing everything. The judge is seeing only that information that pertains to those three cases, the two IRS charges and the gun charge. That's it. That's why the Heritage Foundation and others are saying, judge, you cannot accept this at this point. You've got to look into it more. Now, riddle me this. If you were a judge and a case came before you, first of all, the law says if the prosecution has any evidence that is withholding that could clear the defendant and they could go free, well, that's a violation of ethics and law. If the judge learned about it, that prosecution would face harsh penalties. It's also true that if the attorneys for the defendant intentionally lied about something, that's also grounds for throwing everything out and going after the attorneys and possible disbarment. In this case, I'm not saying the attorneys lied at all. I'm saying they used every opportunity, everything they could at their disposal to get this agreement with the Justice Department, which in my mind was more than willing to do whatever was needed to go easy and soft on Hunter Biden. Got hit with a $2 million tax fine. And suddenly a donor from California comes in and I'll write a check for that. It does not go down as a campaign contribution. It doesn't even go down as a deduction available for the donor. They can't list it as a donation. They could say, well, Hunter is going to sign a note that he'll pay me back in the future. And they just never pursue it. And on the gun charge, if you had been on drugs repeatedly and went in to buy a gun, and when it came to filling out your firearms official information, and you lied on it, that's a criminal offense. You go to jail. But there's nothing in the plea agreement that will do that to Hunter Biden tomorrow. Justice is being denied. Make no mistake about it. But what we're also seeing at this time is another clear example of how don't do as we do as we say. And so they're not going to do anything but just try to rush in and out of court. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, judge, we're out. The judge should at least say, I wanted to make additional inquiries. And I don't know if the judge will or not. Now, I want to change subjects and focus on something that if you think by getting a high score or your child getting a high score on some of the SAT tests almost guarantees them a good spot in college, ain't necessarily so.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, County Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Suppose, Harry, you take a set of kids who have the same SAT scores as a simple measure of pre-college qualifications, and you ask, suppose you're a kid from a high-income family, say the top 1% of the income distribution, and I'm a kid from a middle-class family, and we both have the same SAT score. Say we both got a 1500 on the SAT, which puts us at the 99th percentile. What are the odds that you go to one of these colleges, and what are the odds that I go to one of these colleges?
Now, that's a good question. And it's being raised in reference to how valuable are the SAT tests that you have in colleges, have kids still take. Sometimes they look at them, sometimes they don't. And sometimes how they also simply want to look at other means. And it's more of what they call, which we're going to get to in the second hour, more of a holistic look at the student. In other words, do they do things other than just spend all their time in the study hall? Are they involved in community projects? Are they involved in sports or anything of that nature? So don't go just by the scores. But the statement, as you were hearing it at that point, being delivered by the speaker, and he knows of what he's talking because he's a professor of economics, first of all, and he's also knowledgeable in the field of what it takes to get into college. His name is Raj Chetty, Harvard economic professor, and the director of opportunity. So he was there in that interview with CNN talking about if you take a set of these scores and everything being equal, and we're both applying to the same Ivy League school, but you live, your family is richer than my family, are the odds really the same? And they're really not. And it's not because your SAT score was bad. It's not because you're not a perfect student and willing to do more than what's required. It's because your family's richer and they're more likely to get more money in donations from your family. That's putting it in the simplest, barest lines. As I said, we'll get more into it in the second hour. But I want to share something else with you. And this was brought up the other day by the Vice President, Kamala Harris, basically talking about she is, again, misinterpreting anything that is said in Florida, such as don't say gay bill. There never was a don't say gay bill. She took a statement the other day that had been made that slavery benefited blacks who came to this country. And, of course, she threw a fit over it. And if you take it just in that context, yes, you certainly do the same thing. But what they're saying is that when they were here, they learned skills they might not have been able to learn elsewhere. Now, I don't want to make someone a slave to teach them that, but I'll give you a perfect example that happens all the time in the military. When the draft was underway, when kids were being drafted into the military, many of them ended up learning a skill they wouldn't have learned otherwise. I'm not talking about shooting, throwing grenades. I'm talking about working on trucks, tractors, tanks, things of that nature. Now, did they want to be in the military? They didn't join. It was not a volunteer force then. They were drafted. But they got some benefit out of it. Again, you can't equate the sense of being brought on a slave ship to America to do farm picking cotton work versus learning a skill compared to those being drafted for military action and in the process getting their MOS, their duty roster assignment as to what they're going to learn. But you can also take away the fact that those who were brought here did end up having a chance to learn some skills they might not have been able to learn in their other country. Not if their generation or the following generation. Still doesn't make it right if you're bringing somebody as a slave. I'm looking at a statement from William Allen, one of the authors of Florida Social Studies Standards, a black professor. And he said, it is clear that while they suffered the indignity of slavery, many of them were learning. letter talked to Frederick Douglass, in which he wrote the same thing. Thank you for joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.